This episode of Fuel for the Soul is powered by ASICS. Head over to ASICS.com and sign up for a one ASICS account. It's completely free, and when you sign up, you will receive 10% off your first purchase. You'll also gain access to exclusive colorways on ASICS.com, free standard shipping, special birthday month discounts, and more.
Hi, this is Thomas with Believe in the Run.
This is Megan with Believe in the Run.
And this is Megan with Featherstone Nutrition.
But you know that she doesn't go by Megan. She doesn't go by Big Megan. She goes by Feathers. Everybody, give a big round of applause to Feathers.
Wow. The crowd goes wild.
The crowd goes wild.
As in everybody, you mean the three of us?
Yeah, pretty much. But hey, there's probably somebody listening. Anyway, hey, when you were in New York, people were calling you Feathers, weren't they?
Mm-hmm. It's here sticking. To stay. It's here to stay.
I like it.
100%.
For sure.
Yeah.
I like it.
Yeah.
You guys are wearing two variations of the same sweatshirt.
We're very matchy-matchy today, which is, you know, on
brand. Yeah, your guys about right. on.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. Like, you guys, you saw the meme that BITR memes did of you guys yes. with the yes. twins. I was neither one of you looks like Danny DeVito, but I was dying when I saw that because I was like, oh, my God. That is exactly it. It's two girls from different mothers.
Yeah. It appears to be like our MO now. Like if anybody wants the Megans to do like something for them, they have to dress us alike. Like I think ASICS set the bar pretty high with that over the summer. And now like anytime it's the two of us, they're like, oh, we got to get in the same clothes, the same shoes, the same. It's great. I'm here for it.
I mean, at some point you guys should design something for a brand and be like, okay, this is what we're going to wear.
In tall and short.
And we should be selling it as
It should only make sense if we are together, you know, like where yours has half of the saying and then mine has the second half or something like that.
Or not even a saying. Yeah. What if it's a design that like
or the design connects
together.
So we always have to be right next to
It's like those best friend rings or whatever, the little heart necklace.
Oh my God, 100%. Yeah. Racing singlets. I'm always on your right because you have the camera on the left, so we have to connect from that side.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to shoot myself if this happens.
It's going to happen. Who wants it?
Literally.
We're looking for sponsors. Twinning gear.
Hydrate. Hydrate.
So good.
I like that. Yeah. Anyway.
Okay.
Actually, what would be really cool is if you could invent a singlet that would change colors when it's time for you to take a gel or hydrate. Like it would be like you start sweating.
Yeah. It's like hypercolor.
Okay. Time to drink. Yeah.
We can do it. Instead of this new hydration age drop that they sent me, we just need a t-shirt that tells you how sweaty you are, that tells like a there singlet. Like just wear a singlet like and if it, the color
if
it changes.
Down,
yeah.
Or
you're
just
salty.
Like, you know how, I don't know about you, but I get like a V of sweat.
Yeah.
So it would almost be like the number of ounces you need would reveal itself as you sweat into the shirt.
This is way more genius.
Yeah. By the way, that H drop like thing, you pulled it up there. What do you think of it? Because
I haven't tried it yet.
We have somebody else who's, they didn't send it obviously to me. They sent me the last one. I didn't find it worked too well.
Yeah. Well, I updated it so that I can try it. But the problem is it's very cold here right now and I'm not sweating that much. So I just haven't been super excited to like strap it on and give it a try. But I should have. I biked indoors the other day. I should have done it for that. But yes, I'm going to try it and I will
report
back.
Is the app any better?
It's the same app. Mm. So I don't know yet, but it is the same one as the first version. So we shall see.
Well, good luck to you.
I'll do it before our next podcast and let everyone know how the new age drop is for sweat rate and composition.
So let's talk about Fuel for the Soul, which is the actual podcast we're recording today.
All right. I'm out. Peas and carrots.
He's like, I'm not here for this.
The first question is actually a good tie into what we were just talking about.
Yeah.
But we're also going to answer a bunch of just listener questions today. So kind of random all over the place maybe, but we'll just knock a bunch out. Mm-hmm. Okay, so the first thing we want to talk about is this Hydra Patch, which I was not familiar with. So what exactly is this?
So look it up because it's very interesting. And I kid you not that it'll come out. Yeah.
Yeah.
You guys just need to watch on YouTube if you're wondering why we're giggling. You can't just listen. Okay, so this Hydra Patch apparently is doing some phenomenal marketing on Instagram, because I kid you not, no less than 50 of you have reached out with like, is this legit, oh, wow, Megan? Is this legit?
And I'm what's weird is I haven't gotten this.
You haven't gotten it? Everything. Now you will.
You will now.
Yeah, because we talked about it.
And literally, these are the things that I look at and hysterically laugh and scroll past and don't give the time of day. So when you guys start sending me things, I'm like, okay, I need to like let everybody else know how ridiculous I think that this is. So what it is it's a patch that you wear. They encourage you to put it on before bed, and it's supposed to rehydrate you. So it's telling you that it's going to give you vitamins and minerals and electrolytes through the patch so that you wake up better hydrated.
How does that work?
So, you know, the first place my mind went is we do have some medications that are delivered through a patch. Like there's the birth control patch, there's pain patches.
Nicotine.
So nicotine, there you go, nicotine patches. So we do absorb things through our skin. So I'm not saying that this isn't working, that we couldn't absorb some electrolytes through our skin. I don't know. You know what I mean? But here's the thing is that how much are we absorbing through this is my question. We know that we need grams of sodium, like in order to rehydrate if we're a salty sweater. There is no way that this patch is giving us that much. That's just kind of where my mind goes. Like there's no way there can be a meaningful amount here.
Could you make a mattress of salt and absorb more?
I think that's the Epsom salt bath, right? I don't even know if we absorb it through there. I don't know. Like the technology here is crazy. So they say that there's magnesium, calcium, potassium, sodium, chloride, phosphorus, menthol, peppermint oil, B3, B5, B6, B12, and leucine in this tiny patch, and that we're absorbing anything meaningful from this. Look at Meg's face.
Is wild.
It's wacky.
Wild.
Wacky donkey.
Information.
Who's giving, there's people giving results and reviews on it.
Results with impact. What a two-time World Series champion. Mm-hmm. How much did they pay him for this review?
I was just going to say, they've got a lot of marketing dollars behind this if there's so many of you asking about it. But so, you know, of course, I'm like, I'm going to look at the website. I'm going to see if they can tell you how much we're absorbing off of this patch, how many electrolytes. Thomas, you're right. They don't say a word. But when you first open the thing, we've talked so much around here that like reputable supplements will get an NSF certification or an informed choice certification. As soon as you hop onto their website, they're informed choice certified. So I think people are like, oh, we've said that's good. Is this thing really going to work? Right. So I guess I'm here to say like it's safe, but is it effective? You know, these safety measures, the NSF, the informed choice, aren't telling you whether it's effective. They're just saying that it's safe to use it. Right. So it's a little misleading there. Yeah.
Could I ask you a question? Could I take some KT tape, crush up a B12 and tape it to my arm and get B12 in my arm?
This sounds like a really good experiment, because your pee will be yellow if you absorb it. So why don't you give it a try? Totally kidding.
I'm going to tape it all across. You know those people that you see at the start line that are all taped up? I'm going to have all the vitamins taped to me. Meanwhile,
I don't even
it's
know.
It's really easy just to orally take vitamins. I don't know. That's
to drink. But this is saying that you're going to be rehydrated. Like they're claiming you don't have to go drink that water. You just put this patch on.
That's the other half of it. We know electrolytes are part of hydration, but what about the water? The patch is not delivering water, you know? No, so I'm like, this is wild.
I think it's a misnomer. Apparently, you're made of a lot of water, so you probably don't need to add any.
Oh, right. That's correct.
Because you're like 99% water, aren't you?
I think we're like 80.
80?
So why do we drink
isn't
it?
That gross if you dried somebody up like a raisin? Just there they are. Okay. I guess it's a mummy.
Mm-hmm. Okay, but my favorite thing is one of the people that reached out to me about this, I was like, I don't know what to tell you. Like, we can't find how much of each of these ingredients is in this patch or how much we absorb. Like I scoured their website and couldn't find any of it. So she DM'd the Hydra Patch people and said exactly that. And they were like, hey, here's a link to all of our science. And she was like, yep, great. I did see that. But I'm just wondering how much of these electrolytes are we actually absorbing from this patch? And their response was, hi, at the moment, we are keep our specific ingredients amounts confidential. Thank you. I was like, oh, good Lord, we need to put that out there.
So there is maybe none.
I also keep my gold medal that I won in the Olympics confidential.
Mm-hmm. Right? Mm-hmm. I know. Yeah. So, I mean, the reason I wanted to bring this up is not necessarily to bash this product, but we have to be smart, right? If something seems too good to be true, if something doesn't add up in our minds, even if it's informed choice certified, right? Like, does not mean that it's actually legit. So use your best judgment. Reach out if you have questions, because there are some pretty ridiculous products out there.
But I do think sometimes it's okay to have a placebo effect product. I mean, if you want to waste your
money. Yes. Yeah.
But for me, like, one that I think actually works, and you brought it up already, that also might have a placebo effect, is the Epsom salt baths. Mm-hmm. And Meg was like, remember we were laughing about it.
Yeah.
Like, I do. Meg's been taking them. Yeah. And Meg, what do you think?
I think they work.
Yeah.
What about it though?
Well, see, here's the thing, is like, you're not only sitting in salt that has like magnesium and things that are supposed to reduce sore muscles, but like, you're soaking in a hot bath and like relaxing. And I think that's probably half of it. Mm-hmm.
I think that it is a combo, like the heat. It's almost like a heat thing. And Megan also got recommended from her coach this past weekend to jump in an ice barrel. Mm.
Did she do it?
She did. I already had a cocktail.
Oh, so can I send her?
Caster can walk you off a cliff.
I know.
I've never seen her listen to someone so intently, which is good. That's what you're supposed to do for your
coach. The results are working.
I listen to you.
That's true. Much? You do. You're right.
Yeah. People who I trust and believe in, I will listen to.
I love it.
All right. Yeah. So what are we saying about this whole patch thing?
Don't waste your money. Don't waste your money. Yeah. And just like a word to the wise, right? Like, be skeptical of supplements, because not all of them are quite legit.
Okay, but it goes further than that, because I just sent you a post that I saw because it looked legit. It's the dude who, Dana or somebody who runs the whole UFC boxing. He's like, I did this 3-day, no eating, no thing. And he got ripped.
Yeah.
After he's 3 days.
Really dehydrated.
Before and after picture.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that's all it is, right?
Yes, 100%. Dehydration. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so I was thinking, I would like to look like that.
Okay.
So do I just not, should I get an H drop to make sure I'm not getting hydrated?
Yeah. So what we're going to do, we're going to tape vitamins and minerals to your body and not allow you to eat or drink for 3 days and see what happens.
I like it.
Only Thomas is the only one who's allowed to.
He did say he was drinking chicken broth or bone broth.
It's interesting. Yeah. I would think they'd be like no salt, no carb, like no, I don't know. I don't know.
Yeah, but I was like, I sent it to you because I was like, tell me that I should not eat for 4 days.
Mm-hmm. I did not tell you that.
And be miserable? Like,
no, I think you would be the one that would be miserable.
I don't know, Thomas. Yeah. I think you might be too. It would be like a joint effort. Yeah.
I think Megan's exact response was, don't do that to Meg.
I did.
She's already got enough on her plate.
I was like, don't do that to Meg. That was my response. Like, please don't. I love it.
All right, let's move. Or did you want to say something more to that?
Oh no, I just wanted to talk about an actual maybe good supplement that is new.
But just do that.
Yeah,
what is like this new supplement that?
So
DHEA.
No, it's capital RNWY, which I guess is like runway without the vowels. Oh. I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know much about. So
runway.
When it first showed up, I was like, wait, where did this come from? And then I remembered at the Alley on the Run live show. They were like, hey, will you try this new supplement? My buddy has this new supplement company. And I'm like, sure, right? And then I kind of forgot because, you know, we were listening to Allie and doing all that kind of stuff. But anyways, it is something that I didn't know I needed that I think could potentially be super helpful. It's collagen and an electrolyte drink. So like, instead of putting collagen into your
coffee.
And I've gotten totally away from taking collagen because I just got sick of putting it in my coffee. Like, I don't know. Like, I need to be taking it. I have arthritis in my feet, you know, like all the things that we talk about that collagen can benefit. So I was actually really stoked when it came. And then I shook it up so that you guys could see, like, it's really not like creepy. It dissolves 100% and it tastes great. Like, the only other product that I think could compete with this I've tried before, and it was like full of artificial sweeteners. The taste was awful, and this actually tastes good. It just kind of tastes like lemonade. So like,
did
I
they
think,
send it to you?
Yeah they're gonna be at TRE. So I want to talk to them.
What's up?
We'll get some. What's for up you with guys that? We'll get some. That's what I said to Meg. I was like, did you get this? Where'd this come from? And then I was like, oh wait, that's right, Allie on the I like put it back together that, you know, it was from New York, but I don't like, I haven't talked to the, you know, people who own the company. I know they're brand new and very small.
And it doesn't taste like dried up cows.
No, I swear. Look, I won't even flinch when I drink it. Look, it smells like lemonade. It doesn't even smell like collagen.
But, and so this is, you're still supposed to take this pre-workout or run or whatever mm-hmm. you're doing, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what's interesting? Yeah. Coach Caster told me today that he drinks a hot lemon water
mm-hmm.
and then just has a little bit of coffee. He says that the coffee inflamed his joints and inflames his, or didn't help with inflammation. So he's switching it up. He still gets that same feeling of like a hot beverage in the morning, but just hot lemon that takes down his pH or something like mm-hmm. that. I don't know. He says it seems to be helping with him because he was having like plantar fasciitis and stuff like that. But like how detrimental is coffee to inflammation and stuff like that?
I haven't seen research on that. I mean, I can look it up and see if I'm missing something, but I haven't seen, I mean, for some people, it's super acidic. Yeah. I'm not well slept enough to go for a morning run without a cup of coffee and not killing myself. But,
especially when you're getting up at 3, like
four, it's super acidic. Four. So it bothers some people's stomach. So a lot of my runners won't drink it first thing in the morning just because it bothers their stomach, but I'd have to look up more on the inflammation piece, but I've never heard that. Yeah.
Okay. Cause I was just thinking if this was an actual problem, this mm-hmm. would be a great thing for Coach Caster.
Yeah.
Cause it's got that lemon flavor that he's already drinking. And then I'm guessing it's got vitamin C to activate the collagen in it.
It does. It's got vitamin C. It also has like vitamin D. It has some B12. So it's got, and obviously it has sodium, you know, like electrolyte, but it does have the 10 grams of collagen, which we always say is what we need. So I was like, you know, sometimes I see products and I'm like, okay, cool. Neat. Somebody might benefit from that. I was actually really excited about this one that it tasted good. I was like, I think I would actually use this on a daily basis. So I'm pleasantly surprised. I look forward to talking to them at the running event and learning a little more. It's not it's not like NSF or Informed Choice certified yet, but I have a feeling it's just because they're so new and it's expensive to do that. So, I mean, of course, that'll be a question I have for them. But
All right. Shall we dive into another listener question, or I guess our first listener question here? Okay. So this listener question is from Sean Gill, and I think it was for me because he spelled it M-E-A-G-H-A-N in the subject line, but it could be for either of us. And he said, I follow Meg on Strava, and I'm always so motivated that she's finished a run by the time I'm rolling out of bed. Different time zone, but it still seems impressive. One thing I notice about her, your runs, though, is that your heart rate is really high most of the time, which I only see in myself when I'm underhydrated or carrying a lot of fatigue going into the run. So my question is, what's your pre-run morning routine? How much hydration are you taking in before your run? And what about the evening before?
First and foremost, the reason I pulled this, not to make Meg nervous, but because I think, like, let's not compare ourselves on Strava. I don't think I really actually need to be the one saying this. I think we all actually know that. And then two, ridiculously high heart rates from 170 to 190 are not accurate. So, I mean, these wrist heart rate monitors are terrible. Mine literally says I have a heart rate of 176 every single mile after the first mile for every single run. That's clearly not accurate. So I Meg, these numbers that he's looking at of yours are not accurate. There's absolutely no way that it is accurate. But
there's something interesting about what you're saying. So I use a chest strap back to Zwift when I'm on the bike there. And I feel like those are pretty accurate, right?
Uh-huh. Oh, yeah. The chest straps are definitely accurate. Yeah.
So if you go out and you're like, okay, this is a regular run, and it's the run you do all the time, and you have a chest strap on, and you're hoping that's more accurate because that's pretty much the industry standard. Like if you're going to go to the doctor or something like that, they do that. And you kind of would find out, oh, no, I'm at 156 or something like that. Wouldn't that be a good way to just like keep yourself in check?
You could. Yeah. I don't think Meg needs another variable right now, but I mean, yeah, I would support like
in a month or two
instead of worrying. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, it did. This question made me go and look at my Strava, and I was like, because I just heart rate data, that's never been something that I look at or follow. I'm not doing any math training or anything like that. But I am always fascinated that people are not only following me on Strava, but clicking into my workout and looking at my heart rate. Like this is not the first time this has been brought to my attention.
Rotten?
Broughton?
Already been brought.
Like, wait, what? I would like some Broughtons and some beers.
Brought to my attention. And Yeah, like it's at like one, it says it's like at 191 and stuff. And I'm like, either I'm like about to die or this is not accurate.
Which it can't be accurate because Megan is running easy at a 739 pace.
Right.
And if she's running easy, your heart wouldn't be exploding. And I do believe that you are running easy at 739 because I've seen you, I've witnessed it. Like when we've, when like
we're chatting.
Yeah.
Right. I was just looking up what your heart rate was in New York when I was talking to you the whole time. Like, what did it say, quote unquote, say?
It did say 130s, like the whole time, 130s, 140s, which might be accurate.
But then you looked up Chicago, right?
And Chicago said I was like 180 the whole time.
Which would make sense.
I mean,
that's pretty high. I doubt she was 180 the whole time.
I feel like when I'm really working, it's 180.
Well, I mean, if you do the whole, what is it? 220 minus your age, it's like your max heart rate, and you're like, there's no way you could physically hold that for 2 hours.
Well, that's why I don't.
that's what I'm thinking. Okay, but let's say there is some accurate data somewhere related to heart rate. How important are these, like staying hydrated and fatigue? Like, do you know how much these things impact heart rate?
Yeah. I mean, he's absolutely
cold
correct.
Weather too.
Yeah. Cold. It might. Yeah. Yeah. But dehydration 100% will increase your heart rate. So people who have gotten into like the heart rate and HRV, you know, through the rings and the wrist straps and all that kind of stuff. If you're dehydrated, your heart rate's going to be elevated 100%.
Is that because you have thicker blood to pump?
No, you would have lower blood volume. So your heart would have to pump more to get less blood throughout your body.
Well, you know what's interesting about this, though, and you guys didn't know this, but I almost did what Megan did with
you
Brock.
You did.
I had asked a question. No, I had asked Coach Caster about, because I want to know his coaching philosophy.
Yeah.
Like what he thought of heart rate training and if that was something. And he goes, you know, different things work for different people. He goes, I believe that you can run, you know, it consistently and build endurance without necessarily having to focus it exclusively on heart rate. And I do feel like watching Megan progress over time, your easy runs used to be 8:30. It was never 9, but
some days
like,
they still are.
Yeah, but it was more than likely that you would be at 8:30. And I've noticed in the last year or two, you started dropping to like, and I at first I was like concerned for you because I was like, is she running too hard? 7:39, 7:20s even. And you used to ask and you'd be like, no, I wasn't even paying attention. I'm just running relaxed. Mm-hmm. And that happens to be the pace, which is disgusting, but it's fantastic. And, but yeah, so I believe that there are different ways to get there, and you've done it through increasing mileage, increasing your hard workouts and your paces and stuff. And I can't imagine that your heart's about to explode.
No.
Well, no. There's only one way to find out.
And consistency too. Like who's more consistent than Meg? You know what I mean? Like there's something to be said of that. A lot of people like start and stop their running journey.
Yeah.
And she's just.
Especially because of so injury consistent. Or something like that.
Yeah. Yeah. Injury, life, everything, stress, sleep, you know. Yeah.
Children.
Mm-hmm. They just make me run one more. Bye, guys. Need a break.
But Sean, the moral of the story is that chances are this data is not correct. Mm-hmm. And don't look at what I'm doing. So moving on to the next question here from, I'm going to not say this name right, Yamil Harfush. Do you think that's anywhere near how to
pronounce like Yamil's right. I feel like Yamil's right.
Mm-hmm. I like the name Yamil.
Hello, MMNT. Thanks to you, during my last marathon, I carb loaded like a champ, didn't hit the wall, and felt great energy-wise. However, I had a horrible stomach ache from all the gels. Luckily, not during the race, but after finishing, I could barely drink some water, and I couldn't eat for 5 hours since I felt so bad. I've always prided myself on having a stomach of steel and also practiced my gels. However, I had never taken so many at a time. I took 7, one every 30 minutes. The maximum I had during training was 5. I was planning to take 8, but I couldn't stomach the last one. I was very well hydrated as well, so I'm wondering if you have any tips for avoiding this in the future. Should I just change my brand of gels, or is there anything else I could do? Thank you for all the information and tips you provide on the podcast and for making it so much fun to listen to. And before you answer this, Megan, you didn't know this, but the subject line of her email was "Gels making me cry."
Okay. Oh no!
I like that. But gels also, made her cry. Before you can, can I add something into this before you get going? Is it necessarily the gels?
No, I don't think it is. I jumped on the bandwagon with that. But I mean, first and foremost is she made it very clear that she had never practiced how she fueled during the race. So first and foremost, we always want to practice how we're going to fuel during the race. Now, granted, we're never running 26 miles in training. So yes, it will be more gels on race day, but let's make sure we're fueling every 30 minutes. Maybe we even try the gel before the run starts like we're going to do so that our body is very, very, very used to what we're doing, you know, throughout that training cycle.
Did they say that they hadn't practiced it every 30 minutes? I'm thinking that the extra gels were that extra.
Just the extra time. You know, that could be it too.
Yeah.
That could be it too, which I mean, obviously that is what it is. We can't change that. But my thought is it's probably one of two things. One is that she just got too dehydrated out there. So it probably could have had nothing to do with the gels. It's just when we get too dehydrated, especially if we're salty, those are the type of people that have the nausea afterwards, the I cannot eat, don't give me food, I can't drink. That's typically people who are heavier, saltier sweaters that I hear that from. So my thought would be, yes, she said she stayed well or was well hydrated. So she probably went into the race well hydrated, but it's absolutely impossible and not advised to finish a marathon hydrated. We will always be dehydrated, but I'm thinking the degree of to which she was dehydrated was so great that it caused her stomach to feel the way that it felt. So, you know, the helpful piece of that is the longer we go without eating, the worse those symptoms get. So even though we're uncomfortable, we would want to try to get some sodium in, try to get some fluid in to get kind of back on track with that. And then the other thing I wondered was if they were taking a type of gel that needed fluid drank with it, that could cause it more issues. However, I would
have expected- What are some of the gels that do that?
Honey Stinger, Goo, Spring, Huma.
So the ones that are...
Most of them.
Okay.
Yeah, most of the gels need fluid. Yeah.
Yamil also said that this race went really well for for them. Mm-hmm. And I'm guessing sometimes you just empty the tank and your blood is going to your legs. It's going to, you know, to keep things moving. And it moves away from your vital organs. Is it possible that Yamil just ran a fantastic race and as a result was depleted and like blood flow to the internal, like to the stomach, intestines was needed to get back on track? And that's why she felt or they felt so
100%
out of it.
Yeah, 100%. So we know when our intensity is higher, we have poor blood flow to our GI tract. So we never train a full distance. We never train a full run at marathon pace intensity. So like it's a whole new ballgame on race day to hold an intensity for that long, for longer than we ever have, which pisses off some people's stomachs. I mean, I remember, was it Boston? Yeah, it was Boston when I finished. I had Zofran from my migraines and I took a Zofran because I was so nauseous. And it was just, you know, GI stuff that I had out there. And I was just like, I'm just nipping this in the butt, right? So sometimes you can do everything quote unquote right and still have some of these symptoms afterwards because running a marathon at a PR effort is really hard on our body. So, you know, it's just kind of having some things in your back pocket like salty pretzels or a different flavored electrolyte drink or something to try to get on top of it. Because most of those symptoms are from dehydration, right? It's just, you know, and then they're exacerbated by the exertion. So it's just trying to figure out how to get on top of it.
We've talked before about how important it is to get some nutrition post-run, especially after your body. Would you say that in this case, if someone's saying, I just couldn't do anything, is that when that Gatorade protein drink or that protein shake or just getting something down that had like even chicken broth or something just bone broth or something like that would really make a big difference for recovery and moving forward?
Definitely.
Meg, have you ever had this like after a race? The only time I remember you really depleted and it wasn't from running fast was when we did the 50 miler.
Yeah. I'm trying to think if there was another
wine glass.
I felt,
you didn't feel good after the wine glass. Because I remember I had the Zofran. I was like, do you want one? You were like, no.
That was probably the worst I've ever felt. Yeah. But I had GI issues out on the course and just was like totally depleted in every way.
Yeah,
those are always hard to come back from.
Right. Yeah. It, like, it happens, you know, but it, like you said, or we all said, you know, they had a phenomenal race. So congrats. Yeah.
All right. Let's get to another question here. This one is from Dan. He said, hey, fam, it was so great to see you all, to see all of you at the BITR shakeout. My question is around hunger pains during the New York City Marathon. I started wave two at 9:45. Day started at 4:15 when I took a Kodiak oatmeal banana and scratch high sodium. Then at 7:45, I had 10 full graham cracker sheets and a Morton 360. 10. Whoa, this is a lot. I took my regular Morton gel at 9:35. Then based on my training and Feather's advice, I took a gel every 30 minutes. I had no issues with this during my training, which all usually happened during 4 a.m. to 8 a.m. I also used this same strategy at Chicago 4 weeks prior. No issues. Right around 1-ish o'clock, I started getting these tremendous hunger pains. It was like my body was asking, why haven't we eaten lunch yet? I ended up grabbing a random half of a banana, which helped me, but the hunger pains kept getting worse. Any advice you can give?
Yeah, don't run New York. No, I mean, it is. It's such a tough day because tough. It's not normal. You go down to the start and you wait 2 hours before you run. And
he did such a good job of getting in
10 sheets.
Getting into nutrition before.
I'm hoping his sheet is my sheet, like the full four rectangle, full sheet. But it sounds like he follows religiously what we talk about. So I'm going to guess. I went by the fact that he knew what an actual sheet of graham crackers was. So my first question, which I don't know, is like, how big is Dan? You know, like it sounds like he's
I mean,
like
if Dan can eat 10 sheets of,
right?
of he's graham crackers, he's still not hungry.
Yeah. But I mean, size. First of all, Dan, you did phenomenal. I had to calculate what you took. Your first breakfast was 70 grams of carbs, which maybe is a little bit small, but not terrible, and 350 calories. Your second breakfast had 205 grams of carbs. That's insane in a good way, right? And then 960 calories. So he had like 12 or 1300 calories before the marathon started. So that's, I don't think he like totally screwed that up by any means. I do wonder if he carb loaded, because I've never heard of someone getting hungry during a race that carb loaded well. We just have so many stores in the background.
Well,
let
me ask you one other question though. You don't normally hear about it because you're done with your race usually before lunch.
Right.
Like with a later start, couldn't it just be that your body is used to eating a meal around 12:30.
So that's my next
o'clock.
Thing is like, is his body so on like, and if he's a bigger guy, that means he has a higher metabolism. He's burning through more energy. So would get hungrier sooner. And then maybe he's just one of those people that it's like clockwork, like 12:30 is lunch. So when he was still out there at one, which he would have only been running for 3 hours. It's not like, you know, it's not like he was out there forever. He was starving, you know? So I do wonder too, if it was like his internal clock being like, it's lunchtime.
Random question about carb loading, which I think I already know the answer to, but it's, you're storing in your muscles, right? So if you're like a giant dude with giant muscles, do you potentially benefit more from carb loading than someone who is less muscular and maybe more petite?
Yeah. So
I'll answer this one.
I store the most carbs here.
Yes. Maybe it is true.
It's like Gaston over here. He's like, okay. So we store glycogen in our muscles. So obviously if we have less muscle mass, that's a lower capacity to be able to store glycogen. However,
but
it's not like
you need less.
I don't know about that. Because,
like, well, think about it. If I'm a heavier runner.
Yeah.
And I'm carrying more weight, it takes more energy to move me down the road. If you're a light runner with less muscle, I mean, let's look at those, the Kenyans and the people that are out there in the front. There's not a lot of muscle on those guys.
Yeah. But the research shows if they can take the same amount of carbs as a bigger runner, they have higher carb availability. So they run so much faster and stronger. So like just because they're smaller and use less, they actually benefit more if they fuel like someone bigger than them fueled, if that makes sense. So that's why you're right. But like that doesn't mean that smaller runners should eat less. They should just benefit more from eating the same amount as a bigger runner. And then two, the better trained you are, you expand your glycogen capacity. So like we would have better glycogen storage capacity than someone running their first marathon who has only run
more
for 2 years.
More efficient
system. Yeah. Okay. So, I mean, you can expand it a pretty decent amount as you become more well-trained. So, yes, a piece of it is how much muscle mass we have, but a piece of it's also training. You know, there's lots of variables there.
So what are we telling Dan here? Like, is there any suggestions for next time?
Oh, yeah. That's a good point. We do need to tell him what to do if he runs it again. My thought was maybe in practice, take something like one of those Morton solid bars because they're super easy to digest, but it would be a solid food. So I think if you tried it during training and it sat okay, have something like that in your literally back pocket in case you need something while you're out there. Because if this happened at New York, if he ever happens to run another race that's through lunchtime, I would expect it to happen again. Because it sounds like he did everything right. It was just literally like lunchtime.
Let's knock out one more question here before we probably have to wrap things up. So this one is from Alexandra Reitz. They said, hello, huge, huge fan of Megan and your podcast. Thank you for making all this information accessible. It's been a game changer for me. I have a really hard time getting down gels when I'm running at a marathon or a half marathon pace. I know I need to practice more, and that's Megan's advice. And that Megan's advice is to fuel early and often, but I wanted to see what you thought about breaking up my carb needs into chunks of higher carb gels that I need to take less frequently. For example, instead of taking 8 100 Martin gels, taking 4 to 5 160s over the course of a marathon and timing them to ensure I'm getting my 50 to 60 grams of carbs per hour. Is there any downside to taking fewer gels in higher doses? Or is this a good way to get down fuel when I just can't get through taking 8 to 9 gels? Would love to hear your thoughts.
Yeah. So, I mean, First and foremost, the most important thing is taking enough while we're out there. So if this is the only way that she can get enough, then let's do it, right? You know, but if we're really looking at like how to optimally fuel our bodies, there is some good research to show that if we can get fuel in more frequently, we can keep our blood sugar a little more stable. And it's sometimes those drops in blood sugar that we feel from a performance perspective. So, you know, again, we've looked at research to show like if we can keep our blood sugar high and stable, performance is typically better. So if we're taking a 160 every 50 minutes, I would expect to see more drops if we were watching her blood sugar, which could potentially impact performance. So my thought was like, if this is the only thing she can do, if she was like sipping an electrolyte drink that had sugar in between them, like maybe we could kind of mitigate some of those drops since it is going to be a long period of time. It's like a lot of sugar and then none, and then a lot of sugar and then none versus like us, if we're taking a 100 every 25 minutes, blood sugar is going to stay a little steadier. So, you know, I think there's ways around this if this is the only thing that works for Alexandra. Yeah.
You guys are big advocates of running with a bottle. Mm-hmm. And so if you're running with a bottle and you had like Morton 360 in it, mm-hmm. and maybe you carry a couple gels for backup. Mm-hmm. You make sure you get through that bottle at a certain point in the race, mm-hmm. and you'd be the one to prescribe that. Mm-hmm. Get through that bottle, and then knowing that you only have, you know, 2 more gels to get to mm-hmm. before the end of the race, couldn't that work well for someone in this particular case and keep them mm-hmm. in a steady energy level?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I've had some people start with like the 320 in their bottle, which is like 80 grams of carbs. So sometimes I have them drink it over an hour. Some people it's like an hour and a half, just depending on the person. So yeah, I mean, that would be a real steady way. And then to your point, it would be fewer gels thereafter. So yeah, that would be another alternative. But I mean, if she's taking enough carbs and doesn't feel kind of some of those drops, then she's probably fine, you know, but, research would suggest that keeping it a little more steady would probably help her a little bit more. And when I say that, I don't mean like, oh, we need to go to a superstarch that keeps our blood sugar steady. Like, that's not necessarily what we're talking about. Like, we know performance is best when our blood sugar is actually a little higher, right? So we're just trying to keep it higher instead of letting it kind of drop, which just is less about the type of carbohydrate and more about like the frequency that we're taking them.
We have all these 160s because Morton was kind and sent them to us. And yeah. I've just been taking like half of it. And then, like, so it's 80. It's slightly less than one full one, but I've just been taking half at a time every, I don't know, 30 minutes or so.
Yeah, that works.
Okay. So how do we want to wrap this one up?
I think that we kind of summarize back to the 3 questions or 4 questions that we answered.
Okay.
So, could we go, what was the first one about?
So the Hydro Patch is a pass.
Hydro Patch is a pass.
The RNWY, which we think is Runway, new collagen supplement, we're into.
Digging it.
Stop following me on Strava. Just kidding. Don't follow me because it's the one place I have Megan more followers than Thomas, and I love it.
Yeah, so. But it's not really fair because you got paid.
No,
yeah, I did not get paid. You got paid followers.
I did not.
She does the shade.
Strava, Strava featured me one time.
From because not of the paid, New York Roadrunners.
Not paid.
Yes, they just featured no, me. No, they got feet. Well, okay, whatever.
Anyway, I mean, follow me on Strava.
She got featured
by your New York Roadrunners. A real badass runner. Like, let's just leave it at that.
It is, people but I do think she's. That. Do you know why you shouldn't follow her? She does not give kudos, people.
I do.
Not.
I don't give kudos either. I got enough places to like.
She doesn't follow anybody. And two, you all can't run like Megan.
We can be inspired by her consistency.
Yeah, follow me. That's give true. Me kudos. Then, this is what I'm here for.
All right, go ahead, follow her.
Okay, and then for Yamil and the gels.
I think we got dehydrated out there. I think we either got dehydrated or it was intensity. So we do maybe play with hydration a little bit and or Thomas, he's smelling a shoe.
Do you know what it says on the shoe? AF.
As
fast AF.
Did I write fast on top of it?
Yeah.
Oh my God, okay. we're all over the place.
You're ruining this.
We were like, trying to sum things up for people and now we're all back now to our rambling. Now it's a
disaster.
All right, let me do it for you.
Okay.
This Hydra tape stuff is horrible. It's baloney.
It's a Hydra patch.
You're not, whatever, Hydra patch, Hydra tape. You're not going to get enough vitamins that way, people. There's no way that that patch has 25 vitamins in it that's going to go into your arm while you're sleeping. Plus, guess what you need to hydrate? Actual water, H2O. So make sure you do that. Then we're going to move right into the next subject. It's called Runway. It's fantastic. It's another way to get your collagen in. Comes with some vitamins that are going to help absorb it into your system while you do exercise. So one thing, it's not good enough to take collagen by itself. You need to have vitamin C or something to help synthesize into your joints when you're exercising. So Runway sounds like a great option if you don't want to put it in your coffee. Finally, it's hard to take gels and we get hungry at lunchtime, but if you fuel properly, you may feel crappy after the race, but who cares if you had a good race performance if you can't eat for 5 hours?
Anyway. Spoken like a true runner. Suck it up, Buttercup.
Yeah. And our boy, P-R-E-R. Our boy Dan, P-R-E-R. Dan, I feel bad for you because I know I get the hunger pang right around lunchtime myself. I don't think you can do anything except for run earlier races. And then finally, what was the last one?
Taking gel frequency. So
yeah,
ideally research based, you want more, but if not, you know, do what works for you.
Yeah. We got options,
but if you can suck it up,
Buttercup.
Yeah, there we go. All right. So that's it for this week. And I got to say something. It'll play after Thanksgiving for you guys, but I want to wish you all a nice Thanksgiving. I hope you had fun. I hope you had a nice time with your family. I know I'm excited to spend time with our family. I'm sure Feathers over there, you're excited to be with your kids and everybody. And
okay, we need to close this one out.
All right, peas and carrots, folks.
Bye.
Bye.
I mean, your face isn't bad, so you could put it on a box and sell some graham crackers.
It ain't bad.
Yeah, it ain't a bad one.
Oh, no.
I mean, I've seen some people I wouldn't want on my graham crackers. It does make me want to put a strap on you. Heart rate monitor, Meg.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That was a lot.
Composure.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, I'm crying. That was a lot.
Too. Okay.